Welcome to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. The new Shigak continues to slow to a halt, but there is still a steady catch on the east side. Egigik pulled in more than 100,000, and Ugashik is still trying to make up for a week early season. It's Wednesday, July 24th. I'm your host, Alex Hager. Coming up tonight, a lot of processors have set their base price at $1.35, but fishermen will have to wait to find out what they'll be paid in full.
You know, we're seeing a higher base price this year. I can't say whether we'll see a higher final price.
We break down what other factors could contribute to the final price coming out this season with BBRSDA's executive director. We've also got info about the association's discount for fishermen sending their vessels down to Seattle for repairs. And we take a look back at one of the most significant years in Bristol Bay history and how that salmon run shaped our fisheries management today.
The salmon run dropped from 25 million in 1918 to just 6 million.
All those stories and more after this.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Getting things started with the West Side numbers today. The new Shigak is still in its waning days, posting a catch of 18,000 yesterday, but the season cumulative is all the way up at 14.7 million. New Shigak escapement was 38,000 yesterday and 2.9 million on the season. Breaking Tuesday's escapement down by river, the Agushik saw 27,000 fish and the new Shigak got 12,000. The Wood River Tower's done for the season, so no escapement numbers from there. Also on the west side, Togiak fishermen brought in a catch of 42,000 yesterday, pushing the cumulative up to 640,000. Escapement in the district was 13,000 yesterday and 142,000 on the year. Taking a look at the east side now, Igigik is posting the biggest catch numbers on that side of the bay. Yesterday, the district brought in 110,000 fish, making the cumulative 14.6 million. Escapement there was 22,000 yesterday and 2.3 million on the year. The Ugashik District is still fishing hard, and they brought in 62,000 fish yesterday. The cumulative so far this season is still scrapping to break a million. Right now it's hanging around 911,000. Escapement in Igigik was 410,000 yesterday and 1.3 million on the year. Finally, in Bristol Bay, the Naknek Kwijak had a catch of 66,000 yesterday. That brings the cumulative up to 11.3 million. Daily escapement over there was 55,000, which puts the cumulative at 6.1 million. Breaking that escapement down by river, the Kwijak got 24,000 fish, the Naknek saw 18,000, and the Alagnek got 12,500. Down the peninsula in Area M, the South Pen is up to 1.14 million sockeye and 10.7 million pinks. On the north side, they've caught 1.8 million sockeye, which brings the combined sockeye total for the area up to 2.9 million. Things finally picking up after a long dry spell in Chignik. Those folks are still on an opener that runs until midnight tomorrow. Escapement at the Chignik Weir yesterday was 4,900, and the cumulative is 507,000 so far this year. Stick around. We'll be right back after this.
Support for KDLG from Cummins, offering off-season or immediate engine repowers from Alaska to California. More information on a repower through Mike Fortner at 360-742-2864 or George Piaskowski at 907-750-8055.
We are back with the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on this Wednesday evening. At 42.2 million fish, 2019's cumulative harvest is the second largest in history. The biggest harvest on record was set at 44.2 million back in 1995. Andy Wink is the executive director of the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, and he says he's encouraged by this year's catch numbers and that base price of $1.35.
This has been a really just a heck of a year. I think the fact that we've seen, you know, at least the base prices that have been announced hang in there and actually increase is very encouraging.
The base price of $1.35 is a 10-cent increase from last year. Wink says it's important to distinguish between the base and final pay, which factors in adjustments and quality bonuses. The final price for 2019 won't be set until sometime next year, once processors pay adjustments.
It's really going to depend on how well the sales season goes. If there's good demand and if product's getting sold and we're not having that carryover inventory, then we should be in good shape, and I would expect that adjustments to the final accessible price will be competitive and aggressive.
But if processors aren't making enough money to pay those adjustments, the final price might not be as high. And what processors make is determined by a whole slew of factors: the quality of the fish, trade tariffs, the value of the dollar, and prices for competing species.
You know, some fishermen got a whole bunch more than the base price, right? So obviously, I think that to us says that, hey, the season went really well for both fishermen and processors. You know, processors made enough money to pay some back. You know, there was production bonuses in there. And, you know, we're seeing a higher base price this year. I can't say whether we'll see a higher final price.
Overall, Wink says the region has seen an upward trend in the past few years. As the wholesale value of Bristol Bay sockeye has increased, fishermen have gotten a higher value and a higher percentage.
We've seen the value increase over these past, you know, 5 years or so. Both processors and fishermen have done well. And that's, you know, that's in large part why we're seeing, I would say, resilient prices.
The market's ups and downs usually have a bigger impact on fishermen than processors, since processing and shipping costs generally remain the same. But Wink added that a healthy processing sector was critical for competitive prices.
If they're not performing well, if they don't have the capital to pay an aggressive, accessible price, then prices are going to go down.
With this summer's abnormal heat, chilling was especially important for quality. Wink says that by and large, the high temps didn't seem to hamper those efforts. But while the hot spell's over, he says he's still concerned about some of the fleet's dry boats.
Especially if they're not making regular deliveries and not getting that fish delivered quickly, then, you know, you could run into to some softer fish there.
He also added that as the season winds down here, BBRSDA is working with Alaska Marine Lines to give a discount to drifters shipping their vessels down to Seattle for repairs.
So if you're going to send your drift boat down, say, to have flush decks or to have, you know, RSW work done, you know, maybe you're insulating your hold, as long as you're going to provide a vendor invoice for that to AML, then on the way back, they will give you a pretty substantial discount on that shipping rate.
Now, it's hard to imagine Bristol Bay without canneries. Since the late 1800s, canneries have been a cornerstone of economic and social life here, dominating the shores of rivers across the bay. The NN Cannery History Project has worked for years to preserve the stories of people who lived and work around the cannery in South Naknek. KDLG's Sage Smiley attended a presentation on one of the most significant years in Bristol Bay history and has this report.
1919 changed everything.
100 years ago, Bristol Bay was changed forever by two simultaneous calamities, the Spanish flu pandemic and the collapse of the salmon run. Katie Ringsmith is the director of the NN Cannery History Project.
The Spanish flu arrived to Alaska in 1918, devastated the population, killed more people per capita than any place in the United States, perhaps even the world, and people thought it had run its course that winter, but when cannery ships arrived in 1919, people were quickly becoming sick. It was evidence that it was, in fact, influenza, and it devastated not just the, you know, native population. It killed many people who lived here, but it really changed the demographics in this region.
Within weeks of the start of the 1919 fishing season, hundreds of cannery workers and locals were infected with the Spanish flu. The virus wiped out most of the adult population in Naknek, Ugashik, and other villages around Bristol Bay, leaving behind dozens of orphaned children. For a time, those children were housed in the abandoned jail on the NN Cannery property. A doctor named Linus French took in many of the orphans and eventually moved with them to Dillingham. And some of those orphans returned later to the Diamond NN Cannery.
Well, it's going to be those people that will become the wintermen, the laundry ladies, the storekeepers, the set netters, the fishermen, and they become the caretakers of the cannery.
As the flu devastated Bristol Bay's population and reshaped its communities, another pillar of the region's culture and economy was collapsing.
The salmon run dropped from 25 million in 1918 to just 6 million.
That's Bob King, who works with the History Project.
And it took everybody aback. they didn't know what to make of it, because they really didn't understand the science back then. And what they knew was completely wrong.
The utter failure of the run laid the groundwork for the fisheries management system we still use today. For the first time, legislators, processors, and fishermen realized that fishing the bay as hard as possible might have consequences that extended beyond just that season. And years later, the memory of the 1919 run informed the foundation for modern legislation to protect salmon and maintain a working fishery. Beyond 1919, the project is working to document cannery culture and record the region's history through the lens of the people who lived and worked for the Packers.
You know, this is just one cannery out of, over the years, there have been like 60 or so different canneries that have popped up, and many of them are just completely lost. But there are great stories out there.
You know, I hope that what the Ennin Cannery Project really can do is become a platform that creates what you might consider a humanities community, where people come together, you know, no matter who they are, where they come from, what their views are, that people can come together through, you know, really this common denominator, and that's the history and our relationship to the canneries.
I would just hope that people in those other communities would sit down with some of their elders and their friends and ask them, what are your stories? What do you remember from, you know, back there? What about the sailboat days? What was that all about, you know? It's really good, and I hope that people find a way to remember that.
The Ennin Cannery is nominated to be placed on the National Register of Historic Places. Both Ringsmith and King hope to keep discovering history and telling stories of the Diamond Ennin Cannery and Bristol Bay for years to come. In Naknek, I'm Sage Smiley.
You can find the Ennin Cannery History Project and the stories they've already told online at nncanneryproject.com. Before we head out here, let's take a look at the Bristol Bay Marine weather forecast. Tonight, south wind increasing to 20 knots, seas at 3 feet with patchy fog. Tomorrow, south wind 20 knots, seas at 5 feet, patchy fog. Tomorrow night, southwest wind 20 knots, seas at 6 feet. And things are cooling down here quite a bit, at least here in Dillingham. After a scorching summer, I'm finally seeing some rain in the forecast and highs in the low 60s for the next week or so. That'll be a big change from some of the weather we've had so far this month. We've got a couple messages to the fleet for tonight's show. Happy birthday to Carol Cosbrook on the fishing vessel Catchalot from Paula Brannan. Hope you have a good day. Also, happy birthday Biba on the fishing vessel Catchalot from Ariana, Layla, and Preston. We're in the final stretch of this summer's fish report now, but we're still taking suggestions and requests. If there's anything we missed or anything you want to hear about, send it our way. You can email the show at fish@kdlg.org or call us at 842-5281. And that's the same place to go with your song requests and messages to the fleet as well. For our fishing song today, we'll play you out with Wild West by Runaway June for the crew of the Erica Lee. Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. I'm Alex Hager. Have a good night, good fishing, and I will catch you back here tomorrow.
Now's your chance.